Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley
and Beth Jacobson.
And we're so excited to have you join us this evening. We have created the show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality. We will have discussions on various topics and will feature many guests, including healers, psychics, mediums, and speakers.
Our show is on every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. You can follow or get onto our Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button or check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. Our email address is divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback and your insight about the shows that we have. You can reach Beth at 651-900-4136 if you want to talk in person, or Marie at 651-303-0555. And you can also download our shows as a podcast using the iTunes or RSS feed buttons for our Blog Talk Radio page. Also, go to our Facebook page and like our Divine Goddess Radio page. Thank you.
Our chat room will be open for questions, so please feel free to type in and ask a question or just say hello. And today we're going to be talking on a topic I think that I know I've experienced, Beth has experienced, many people have experienced. And if you're open and you're aware of, you know, what's going on spiritually, you probably may know. But there are probably a lot of people out there who may feel certain things and not realize what they are. So what we're going to be talking about today is establishing energetic boundaries. And one of the things, you know, I know, like when you meet people or if you're in a workspace, you may walk into, you know, you may wake up feeling like you're in the greatest mood and you go into work and you walk in and sit down at your desk and all of a sudden you feel like throwing up or you get in, you know, you feel like you're in a really bad mood and you can't figure out why. So we're going to explain why that is.
And folks, yes, you have guessed it. You will be listening to Marie and I for the next fun-filled hour, 60 minutes. So we're talking about energetic boundaries. And part of, I agree with what Marie is saying and just piggybacking off of what she's saying. Energetic boundaries, there's many different ways of being able to look at it. Like if you've ever been, it's where you have woke up and you've been in an extremely good mood, excited for the day, and all of a sudden you go to work, go to school, or whatever. But, you know, to where you are feeling that there's been, like, all of a sudden, like, a shift in the energy to where you could feel like you were very uplifted, very happy, and then all of a sudden the energy shifted to where you felt very heavy, even maybe a little dizzy, maybe even nauseated. And it's being able to recognize, like, right away how just one moment you were feeling happy and then the next minute that you were feeling heavy, not feeling well, feeling sick, oh, and am I coming down with the flu? You know, and you've noticed, and when people start noticing when they're hanging out with certain individuals that they're feeling the same thing over and over again, or if they're going into situations, work situations, or even life, you know, situations that you're living in, relationships that you're having with other people, and you're noticing that the same thoughts, feelings, and emotions are occurring and they're not high vibration, that is when you're coming to the realization that somebody else or something else is going on. And a lot of people go throughout life not realizing just how much people can connect with us energetically. They can put cords and attachments into our energetic space, our auric field, and it can be people that we don't even know. It can be people like if we go to a store, shopping, grocery shopping, shopping for foods, anywhere that other people are, even over the phone, even over the computer, that people can, it's amazing where energy can go and how far it can go and how fast it can go and anywhere in the world that it can travel to. That's just how expansive that we are. Is there any feedback that you want to add to that, Marie?
No, I think, you know, I think a lot of people have experienced it. Like I said, I've experienced it. And when people do invade your energetic space, you, and especially if you're an empath who can pick up on other people's feelings and emotions, their energy comes right into you. And one of the terms that we use is either an emotional vampire or an energetic vampire. And emotional vampires are people who just drain the life out of you. I mean, they just suck all your optimism and serenity right out of you. And signs that you've, you know, if you are talking to people, this is how you can recognize an emotional vampire. Say you're talking to somebody and you're having a conversation, and all of a sudden your eyelids get really heavy, and as they're talking, all you're thinking to yourself is, God, I want a nap. I just want to fall asleep right here. And you're trying desperately to keep your eyelids open and concentrate on what the person is saying. That's an emotional vampire, and I unfortunately know someone like that.
She's looking at me as she's saying it, folks.
No, it's not bad. It's a very nice lady that I know, but she, you know, just talks about herself all the time, and the more she talks, the more I want to sleep. I can hardly keep my eyes open. You know, an emotional vampire will cause your mood to take a nosedive. You may want to binge on comfort foods because you just feel like your energy has been totally drained. You know, you can feel anxious or depressed or negative. And there are a number of different types of emotional vampires. There is the narcissist, and this person is, everything is just about them. It's, you know, me first. Everything's about what they do and what they're about. They have an inflated sense of self and entitlement, and they just want admiration. And these people are kind of dangerous to be around because they lack empathy and they have, you know, a limited capacity for unconditional love. And so if you don't do things their way, they become very cold and, you know, they can withhold themselves from you. Have you ever met somebody like that?
Have I ever met anybody like that? Okay, now here's the thing is, Marie is giving you a little feedback on, you know, what the definition of that is. So on a, just coming out of the mental health field, folks, as a counselor, that's what I worked with. I worked with, like I said, at-risk youth and people at risk. And they stayed in that cycle of, it was all about them. You had to get them to look outside of their world. They would drain you. And, of course, the environment produced anxiety, but, you know, it's the individuals who would work with individuals like that. I mean, there's skills, there's coping skills that you can learn how to be able to deal with that. But I would say the vast majority of the people that I ever worked with in the mental health profession, those would be what we would look at as the individuals who have attachment disorders. Because when you're working with kids with attachment disorders, and there's adults, they grow up to be adults, they can be overcome, but it's a lot of hard work, and it's a toss-up. It's a 50-50 toss-up of whether or not these kids will grow up to really connect with their consciousness. But it can be the self-gratification. What about me? What am I going to get out of it? They're looking at the I and the me. They're not looking at the us and the we, and what do my actions – they're not caring about what their actions does to the other individual. So, yes, I experience that a lot. But I also experience it on an energetic level because there's a lot that's out there that will feed off of our life force. When we're feeling really drained, when we woke up feeling wonderful and we walk away really drained, it's we're allowing something to attach itself to us energetically, and it literally is going into our chi field. It's going into our life force field, and it is sucking your life force, and it can be, at times it can be very dangerous if we allow it to get to that point, so.
Yep, and then the next kind of emotional vampire is the victim, and this person kind of, you know, will grate on your nerves after a while because it's a poor me attitude, and why do things always happen to me, and they never take responsibility for their actions. The world is against them, and when you offer a solution to their problems, they'll say, oh, yes, but, and that but means basically what you said has been a waste of time because they're always going to stay in that victim mode, and you sit there, and after a while, you end up you know, kind of avoiding them because you don't want to hear their stories over and over and over and over. So that's called the victim mode.
So is that why you don't answer my phone calls?
That's right, Beth, because I'm tired of your victim story.
But, you know, on a serious note, you guys, we've all been there. I would say a good population part of the population has been in victim mode, and there's a huge portion right now that's stuck in the victim mode, but that's the old fear base that we as a whole are coming out of. We are out of it, but it's helping others to get out of that, and that's all it is. It's fear. And I can have my human moments. I can play the victim, the couldas, the shouldas, the whatas, poor me, believe you me, and I have to snap myself out of it. But it's taken me a lifetime of being able to recognize that I'm not a victim, you know, as a circumstance, and to be able to look at everything I've been through, what am I supposed to learn from it so I can move on from there, because it's a life lesson. And then you can go back and check it off, mark it completed, and it doesn't have to be repeated in this lifetime or anyone. So, I mean, there's things you can do, but I still get it. And I know a lot of victims. I work with a lot of people who think they are, and it's the way we... As the other individuals who can see it's holding the light for them to see the light when they can't see it, and it's about the words that we need to work with them at and send them unconditional love and to get them to look at things with a whole new higher perspective, a higher consciousness perspective. So,
yep. Then the third type of emotional vampire is called the controller, and these people try to control and dictate what you do and what you're supposed to feel. And the way they control you is that they will invalidate your emotions if you don't fit into what, you know, their little version of a person is. And sometimes they'll start sentences with, you know what you need? And then proceed to tell you. So you end up feeling dominated or demeaned or put down. It's kind of interesting because I have an ex-boyfriend who I swear was all three so far. So I feel like I've gone through all three with him. So far he's all three.
And I really truly believe that people can fit into all three of those categories. They can be in one, they can be in two, they can be in three. And because you're in the narcissistic, and I do truly believe, you know, with the help of someone else, I think the narcissism would be one that's going to be harder to get out of yourself because you need another another individual's perspective to come in. That would be helpful. It would be helpful because otherwise I'm getting to the, you know what you need to do. But that's when we really need to reach outside of ourselves, and we need to be able to be okay with asking for help, for asking for assistance. You know, it's okay. A lot of us don't ask for help because we don't want to be vulnerable. We want to be viewed as that we're strong, that we can get through this, but it takes strength to be able to ask for help, you know, to get another's perspective. And sometimes all it is a fresh pair of eyes to be able to say, you know, I can completely understand where it is that you're coming from, which is the empathy, but to also have somebody give another outlook, you know, a different perspective of what else could be going on, that when you're in this repetitive script that you have that's ongoing in your mind, all it takes is somebody else can come along that's new, that doesn't know you, and they just give you a new word, and that can shift you into a completely different way of looking at things. So it's amazing how we can change. None of us are destined to be in this lower energy. None of us are. It's a choice. It's a choice. So,
yep. And then the last type of emotional vampire is called the splitter, or the borderline personality.
Oh.
And splitters see things as either good or bad, or love-hate, basically black or white. I mean, one minute they totally idolize you, and then the next you're the enemy if you upset them. So they kind of know, too, how to push your buttons
and manipulate,
yep, and pit people against each other. And then if they feel you've wronged them, they know how to retaliate, and they will. And these are the people who are really fundamentally damaged. I mean, they really have got issues that go way deep, because they feel they're not alive unless they get angry. And those are the people you kind of have to, you know, walk around as if you're tiptoeing on eggshells around. And I'm sure you've seen that in the mental health field a lot.
And I did. And just I want to reiterate for those of you who heard me go, that was not an insult or a put down. It's just like, when I was a counselor, I've worked with every diagnosis out there. dissociative identity disorder, you name it. I have been borderline up the, you know, borderline galore. And it is, I would say that is probably the most difficult. You can work with them. You can. They have to want to look at accepting coping skills, because it all comes down to new healthy coping skills. But, I mean, there's stuff. I mean, we could have an hour just on how they got the definition and the diagnosis of that borderline. But it is like walking on eggshells. It is like walking on eggshells. But it is a tougher energy to be around, because they're the ones who will sabotage. But along with that, they are very much in the victim mode, and they're continuously repeating, you know, story after story that they have experienced in this lifetime, and then you add other lifetimes that the same experience is going on from lifetime to lifetime, because they're not taking the time to recognize what the core belief issue is and to really examine it so they can go in there and work with somebody to help them clear it out so that that pattern can change. And all it is a pattern. And a lot of that, I truly believe, it stems from, but you don't have to agree with me. You can use decipher and discern. I think it's a genetic lineage. When you sit and you do a genealogy on families, you can sit here and see where a lot of this stuff really, really began and where the core belief system started from. So, yes, I've worked with that.
Okay. Well, and these are examples of emotional vampires, and I know there's such a thing as energetic vampires too. You know, can you explain energetic vampires?
Well, the energetic vampires, I don't think are any different. It's a little bit different, but it's not that much different than the emotional vampires. The energetic vampires can go not just on a physical level; it can go on it can go into the etheric planes, and it can be where anything or anyone, any energy that could be darker energy. It doesn't even have to be dark energy. I mean, just because you're not seeing the light, that doesn't make you dark. And dark isn't a bad thing, because it gives us, those are the huge life lessons. But the dark is not what you want to go towards, but you have to face the dark. There's nothing to be afraid of. Only fear can feed the dark. So with the energies that are out there, anything can latch on to us. Anything can latch on to us. And I just want to be really mindful of what it is that I'm saying. There's so many beings, I'll just put it out there, there's so many beings out there. And the more you talk about them, the more you can give them life, and the more it can become more powerful. But it's like, I don't want to go down that alley.
Oh, that's okay. I just had deja vu.
Oh, so. Marie's like nodding her head at me. I'm going, oh, my God, it's all. But I'm not naming any particular groups. It doesn't matter to me. It's irrelevant at this time. It's not something that I care to go into. It's just my own personal experiences. But etherically is where a lot of stuff can breed off of us, and it can stay in our auric field. And what a lot of people are unaware of, and I just became aware of not too long ago, I'd say this past year, are access points that we have in us. And it's programs, belief systems, and karmic contracts that we have that lifetimes ago that we signed up and said, no matter how successful we get, we can be right there to manifest our heart's desires, that we can be all that we can be, that we can shine our light. That's when we put in a program that we'd be sabotaged at however, whatever way to shut us down, even if it meant giving up our lives as light workers. So to know that we have access points within us, which are holes in our auric field. So if you're not aware of the holes in your auric field, that's where anything and everything can go and feed off of you and just hook up to you. And it literally looks like a hook. They can anchor into you. Anything can. And it's not just, we're all beings. That's the thing is, we're all light beings that come in different forces, but it's not all just in human form that can latch on. And meanwhile, they can. It does look like a cord and an attachment, kind of like a little plug-in, and it can suck from your life force. It really honestly can, and it can play with your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. And so that's where you have to really be able to recognize what's yours, what isn't yours, what are you willing to take, what are you not willing to take, and you can get through it. And
well, I mean, humans also have cords and attachments to each other.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, continuing the conversation with the emotional energy
vampires. Well, you know, the perfect example of that would be our families who are way too overly involved, with each other, that's called enmeshment in the counseling world. That's enmeshment. That is very unhealthy. So when you have that right there, that would be a form
of... give an example. What's an example of being enmeshed? I mean, what is an example of that's too enmeshed with each other?
Well, you know, it's when family knows everything about you, and it's not in a healthy way. I mean, here's a perfect example. This is what I worked with. And it's just because of the group of the population that I worked with before. This was before I quit my job and said, that's not the level I want to be working at anymore. It's when parents and grandparents knew everything about the kids, teenagers of age, 18, and knew everything about their sex life. And it's just like, it's all about each individual choice. It is every individual choice of what your parents are going to know about you, but when they know detailed information, or when parents do not know the appropriateness of sexual talk around their children, and knowing that, you know what, you shouldn't be having this talk with a 9-year-old when you're sitting here making comments about, you know, genitalia and, you know, just really crude and rude stuff, that can be a form of enmeshment. Or when they don't let anybody outside them come in and get to know them, that's the family's too enmeshed. And then that usually is a huge sign that there's a lot of family secrecy that's going on. I mean, I have to really limit myself close myself in on enmeshment is huge. It's really huge. I mean, it's like, give me a story that doesn't. There's a difference between having a healthy sense of cohesiveness to where the family is close. So don't get me wrong. There's that healthy sense of cohesiveness, but knowing the role that each and every person plays within the family. But again, this is 3D talk, you know, because that's a counseling. You asked me from a counseling perspective. But from the spiritual perspective is just knowing where it is that you end and where the other person begins, mm-hmm. and being able to define who you are, being able to recognize who the other person is, and then energetically also. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of us, you know, especially women. It's not excluding men, but a lot of women, we're here as caretakers and, to be able to help. We've been brought up that way generation after generation and lifetime after lifetime that's the woman's job. But in that same note, just in the physical world, we've allowed people, I will speak for me. I've helped enable people to stay in there, and I will use freely that word dysfunction. I don't think there is a word wrong with it. In the counseling world, they don't like using that word, but dysfunction is dysfunction. You're not functioning in a healthy manner. So, I guess.
Well, and I think, you know, I mean, all of us, men, women, we all go through relationships, whether it be with significant others or with family members or friends, and everybody... I would say that everybody you come in contact with and have a relationship, you've formed a cord or an attachment. Would you not say that's correct? You know, because I think, you know, say you're in a relationship and the relationship goes bad and you end the relationship, but there are times when you can't let go of that person. You've created a cord between
you. Oh, yeah. And I totally agree. And there's always an energetic exchange, even if we don't have a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There always – here's a perfect example of not just what we were talking about, but have you ever been in a clothing store? Because I've had this happen to me, and I've had this happen to friends, to where you went in there, you're feeling fantastic, excited about going shopping. And this is why a lot of individuals who do energetic work do not like going to malls or big places, because it's too much energy at once. And you're standing in line, and all of a sudden you have this energy ball that comes and just smack dabs, and you can feel that something just lashed out at you and hit you. All of a sudden you feel sick to your stomach, you're dizzy, you're ready to pass out, and you were feeling fine. But yet, when you're standing in line, you zoned in on a person, and you knew where that energetic ball just came from. And I just call it an energetic ball. But in that energetic ball, it can be stuff that they're carrying with them, and part of what they're here to do, or, you know, part of what they're doing is to invade other individuals, you know, their space energetically without any reservation to what it's going to do to them. And it can be that there are people, believe it or not, who do specifically set the intent that they're going to do whatever they have to do, you know, that is not for the betterment of another person. So, for whatever reasons, for whatever it is that they carry within them. I mean, I don't know everybody's story, and I don't want to. But that would be a perfect example, and I know there's many people out there who've had that experience. It's happened to me to where I got sick to my stomach. I had friends to where they were sicker than dogs in a bathroom for a full day because of the energies, and then I would have to do energy work on them.
So how does somebody who doesn't know how to do energy work, how do they get rid of that?
Well,
you have to
be able to recognize that it wasn't yours, because if you were feeling fine one moment and all of a sudden it just comes in and it's a doozy on you and you're dizzy and you're ready to pass out, you're sick to your stomach, just all of a sudden out of the blue, that's not just something that's shifting through you. It's something that just came in and it invaded your space. But at some level, you allowed it to come in. But it's because you didn't protect yourself. And it's like, I have to do massive protection. I personally have to when I go out and about places. And I'm lucky if that keeps stuff out. But somebody who's not aware of it, well, now this is coming into your awareness because you're listening to the show. So you're aware of this. So being able to recognize right at the time going, okay, this isn't mine. And just going inside your head and saying, get out of my space. You do not have permission to be in my energetic space. I am a sovereign being. Get out now. And you are forceful in your voice. And sometimes you might even have to say it out loud. Get out of my space now. And that's when you have to not be worried about what anybody else is going to think of you if you're crazy by saying that out loud. So that is one way that you can do that.
Well, what about, say, for example, you're in a long-term relationship or you know, and you've ended it and you want to break the cord to that person because either you're still thinking about that person or that person still has a hold on you, what do you recommend? I know that there are visualization techniques for cutting the cord where you actually visualize a cord between you and the other person, and then you can say an intent and then with a, you know, imaginary scissors actually cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know, you're releasing the cord to this person. And I, whatever is theirs, and I am now taking back my life. What do you do?
Well, you know, on that note, but this is I can give a big, long answer to that, but there's levels to that, and it depends on, you know, there's so many different factors that go into that. And I think a lot of it comes down to what the core issue was, because if you're still having a hard time with letting go of somebody, it can be that mean that you have to go in and do some deeper heart work, because there's a part of your heart that's still carrying something. It has a core issue to where it could be to where that relationship is triggering something from another lifetime that you may have had together. It could represent things, you know, things that are correlating in this life that you're not recognizing, and it's a way for the universe to go, do you get that? Here's a commonality. This is a common denominator. But you can go in there, but I would say if you were speaking about yourself, Marie, it's really going in and looking at the core issue and seeing if it's in the front of you, because anything that's in front of you is what's currently going on or what's presently going on or could be in the future. And it depends on being able to feel out if it's in the near future. And anything in the back of you is the past. And that could be something that happened in this past, this lifetime, or in past lifetimes. And it's just being able to, I really truly believe you just have to stop and be able to go in and ask yourself. I believe everybody has this ability, but I also work with teaching people on how to recognize this. Being able to differentiate what's in the current lifetime versus what's in, if it's ancient. So ancient would be more past lifetime stuff. So
that's kind of more of a deeper, that's a deeper show for another show.
You know, that's another show there too, which I'm more than happy, but
Because I want to try to, because I know there are a lot of people who are listening who are not as ascended, I should say, maybe. You know, more people are awakening, so just to give, like, basic techniques. So that's what I was talking about, you know, with a visualization that people can actually kind of, you know, if somebody out there is listening and they're like, God, how do I cut the cord literally from this person? That's, you know, a good visualization technique to at least get them started.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is here, I'm going to disclose some personal information, which I'm very mindful of, just so people know. I don't fully just disclose my stuff, especially on air, that's forever out here. And I haven't gotten the consent of my loved one, but I have a better, healthier relationship with them, and it's ever-changing. And it's a male family member in my life to where this is our second lifetime, and I've always been aware ever since I was a child that with this individual, we were experiencing and going through the similar patterns as the lifetime before. granted, I also have the ability to be able to see it. So I saw the lifetime that I had before with him play out before me, and I've mentioned to him, and he goes, well, maybe we were birds in a past lifetime. So, I mean, he made humor out of it, and I love him to death, and it's taken me my whole lifetime to really get to that point where I can genuinely say I love him. And he was one of my greatest teachers in my life. But even I, even today as we speak, have to go in and examine something that I experienced younger at life. And I was just told this by your reader, and it was a nagging thought in my head, and I was just blowing it off. And this weekend, or this past Thursday, I just went to an expo, and somebody who I don't know was a reader who came up and said this to me, and I'm going, well, if that's not, they just validated what the thoughts that I had, so they validated that I have to go in there and examine this. And I have my whole life been very aware that I need to work on this relationship, not just mentally and emotionally on a physical level, but also on an etheric level. And so, no, I still have work, because there's levels and levels and levels to us. But the cool thing is, I don't have all the intense emotions and feelings that go along with it like it used to be. The worst part is over, so this is like a tiny little piece.
Mm-hmm.
So even I, Marie, have to go in, and this isn't somebody that I see all the time, but it's something that I have to do. So it wasn't about, like, if you're going, God, Beth, you didn't have to put on air about my relationship. It's like I have to
do
the same thing.
Well, no, because somebody out there could benefit from it.
Oh, yes. And if you can just remember that we chose our families. We chose our families for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's about the life lessons that we're learning from them. And you want to get in this lifetime, because I swear you guys are going to repeat it. And you can be like me and you can go back, and the next lifetime you're going to remember every detail. So I'm sure in a past lifetime I said, well, I'm not going to remember this, and look at now. I'm remembering. This is my lifetime. I've had to remember everything.
But, well, let's go in and talk about, you know, we've talked about the different type of vampires and energetic and emotional and what people do to you. Let's talk about then how we can start moving towards setting those boundaries. How do we clear ourselves? You know, let's give some techniques to people listening so that, you know, if they recognize, oh, so-and-so, you know, yeah, they are draining the life out of me. How do they protect themselves? What do? How do they create that boundary?
Well, here's one way, you guys, just on a physical note, when you are in whatever relationship, whether it's a intimate relationship, a personal relationship, a work relationship, whatever, with another or other individuals, let's use work, for example, and you're sitting around the water cooler and everybody's sitting here and gossiping. It's coming from another level of consciousness, knowing that you're not going to be a part of that gossip. So that's one thing. It's walking away from it, saying no to that. I'm not going to be a part of this. And you're not going to allow people to gossip around you, because that can put a hook, line, and sinker into you energetically. And then also individuals, friends, loved ones who call you and they talk about the same story, but they might have said it 1,000 different ways to where you're saying, you know what? I love you, but I'm not listening to this story another moment. You can either say, and I'm hanging up the phone, or if they're there with you in person, you get up and walk out of the room, or you say, or you're going to have to leave, but I'm not listening to the story one more time. It's done with me today. So that's taking back your power, and that doesn't mean that you guys are running away, walking away from a loved one. To love somebody, you're going to call them on their stuff, but you can do it with love and saying, you know what? I love you. I love you, and I'm here for you. But I love myself more, and I'm saying no to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a very strong person to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that you're any less compassionate or empathetic. You have to do it. And as a counselor, I would tell you about that. And I've had to learn everything I have to say to people. My guides are going, Beth, are you hearing what you're saying? Because you need to do the same thing. So don't think that I don't have to. Awareness is half the battle. Having that knowledge is half the battle. So you just have to be aware that, no, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And you're redefining what boundaries are. But so many of us have unhealthy boundaries, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel like, you know, when you meet people and you feel like you've known them forever, you just go into this, and that's another form of enmeshment. You just really get caught up, and, you know, and you should have a healthy, I'm not saying a healthy distance. It's for lack of a better word. But, again, knowing where you end and where the other person begins, but awareness is everything. And you don't have to let everybody know everything there is to know about you. You know, there can be some mystery to you. That doesn't mean that's a bad thing, for crying out loud. Not everybody has to know every nick and cranny of you.
That's right. And if you happen to
have a friend who does nothing but complain.
She's looking at me again. I'll look out the window this time. If you have someone who does that, you know, and it's a constant sob story, you know, don't feel bad about saying, listen, you know, I've heard this story like 20 times now. Have you changed anything about what you're doing? Are you still repeating it? And gently say, listen, you know, nothing ever changes when you tell me this story. Let's find a solution to this problem so I don't have to hear this story, you know, a 21st time. Don't be afraid to say that to somebody because, you know, that may help them get out of that constant loop that they're in.
Oh, yeah. You help them break that story. And it's that record. It's repeating over and over and over. And it's a welted record, but they're not able to recognize it. And, you know, and there's times where I've had to get a little huffy with friends, you know, to where I've had to get a little gruff, and they're just like, woo. And then I've had to say, you know, I'm hanging up the phone now. And, you know, plus I have the personality. I wouldn't have a problem with saying it now, but when it comes to really close friends, I have a hard time with, okay, you know what, you need to stop. I've heard that story, God, for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Good God, woman, let's change it already. And I just had to go through this with a friend of mine not too long ago as I'm looking at Marie. No, it wasn't Marie. Another friend of mine, and I said, I really need to go now. And it was, I had this very firm energy in my phone call, and it was very abrupt. And then she called me back. She goes, Beth, did I upset you? I said, no, but I said, I can't listen to that story another day. I said, I'm done with it. You've been talking about the same thing for 2 years now. For God's sake, woman, every time I'm on the phone with you, change it. And I love you enough to say you have to change it because you're not hearing it the other way I'm saying it. So now I'm saying it with attitude. Mm-hmm. She changed it. And with that, you guys, now she's on her path. She's more clear. But she was just stuck in that fear base. She didn't know how to change her story. And then she had the recollection. She even thanked me for it. So, you know, in the end, I went, oh, did I cross the line? But you know what? If they're your friends, they're going to be there and know that you love them and that they're going to take that feedback. And I would hope that friends of mine, if I was stuck in a story, they'd be going, good Lord, Beth, would you stop with the story already? I've heard it for 5 years now. I've heard it 20 times. Shut up about it. And with me, I would say, just shut up about it already. And right. I would hear that. I would not take offense to that whatsoever.
Yeah, and don't be afraid if you know, you have that person in your life that always says, you should or you need to do this, 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 and this. Don't be afraid to say, hey, you know, thank you for the advice, but I would like to figure this out myself. I don't really feel that anybody can tell me what to do. It's something that I have to decide on my own. You know, or if you're that angry person that just always is pushing buttons and manipulating, you know, say to them, listen, I'll talk to you when you're calm. I really don't feel it's a good time to talk to you, and turn around and walk away or hang up the phone. It's not going to be any reflection on you. You know, it's not going to make you a bad person. It's going to make you the person that says, hey, this is my boundary. Do not step over it.
Exactly. So, that's very, very good.
Yeah, and with the
there's nothing wrong with challenging somebody in their belief system. I mean, you can do it lovingly.
Absolutely.
You can do it lovingly.
Right. And with you know, with the energetic vampires, there are more spiritual techniques. I know that when I walk into a crowded place, I can feel people's energies, and you know stuff. I mean, I get dizzy. Sometimes I'll get nauseated. And I have to stop, and what I've learned to do now is before I walk into a crowded place, I visualize myself calling in Archangel Michael and having him bring down white light, protect myself in a white bubble, and then surround that with a dark blue or purple bubble to just keep any energies out. And that really helps to keep, you know, myself being bombarded. Another technique I've used, too, is there's a golden magnet technique where if I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I feel dizzy, I visualize a golden magnet over my head sucking all that bad energy out. So that really helps, too, with, you know, keeping that energetic boundary.
You know, and I'll even go as and be bold enough to say about myself, I've had people sit here and say, man, Beth, your energy can be wicked, because I have a lot of energy. And I just came out of the counseling profession not too long ago, and I had to carry a certain personality with me because of the population that I was working with. So it's me letting go of that energy, and I'm still working on it. But if people didn't give me that feedback, I would think my energy was just love, peace, love, and harmony, because that's what I feel like inside. And I have no idea what it's like when it comes to other people. So I'm really working on it because my energy is about finding my balance between my masculine and feminine. It's more masculine than anything. So, and I'm still working on the more of the gentle energy coming in. So when you encounter me, it's not so, it doesn't bombard you and it doesn't feel like it knocked you out and put you to the ground. Because my intention is never to be in anybody's space. And like I said, it took a bold personality of a friend who I didn't know very long to say, holy mother of pearls, Beth, your energy. Otherwise, here, nobody ever had the courage to tell me. And then after I started saying this to friends, I'm going, well, you know, now that she said that, and I'm going, well, why didn't you say it to me before? Here I'm going thinking, my energy is just hunky-dory, you know. And but it took this individual coming in that I'm still friends with, and I absolutely love people being, right, be blunt. So there's no hidden agenda there, and I know what it is that you're talking about. So,
well, I think that helps everybody. I mean,
does.
If you are trying to help a light worker or someone who's having an issue with boundaries, it helps to put that out to them because they may not recognize it.
Exactly.
You know, and if you do it in a loving way, you're only helping them further on their path.
Because there was absolutely, it was not about embarrassing me. It wasn't about shaming me. And she even said, Beth, I say this to you with love and light. And that's all you have to do is start the conversation. I say this to you because I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
But your energy, girl, and I'm telling you, she's a bold personality and she's got energy herself. So we have to call each other on everything. And with her being in my life, I've gotten the courage to be able to say more things to other individuals. But also another thing that I do to help when I go out in public is I visualize an armadillo shell that's up around my auric field. And it's like an eggshell, so you want to say it's in front of you, to the back of you, to the left side of you, to the right side of you, as above you, as below you, and that nothing can penetrate in it. So you do that, but you want to make sure that you're visualizing, because visualization is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it stays up there. Just because there's so much chaos that is going on with the energy right now, it can just come and knock that down. So it's almost like visualize that you have this egg, and then the inside, it's all locked down. It's like locked. It's locked down, so nothing can break it down. So you visualize that. You should be good. You should be really good.
And I think visualization does help. So anybody listening out there, use your own visualization. What do you visualize for yourself that is a good protective armor? You know, some people it's the white light bubble with the blue. Some people it's a blue cape. Some people it's like you said, armadillo or eggshell, you know, something that really covers you. Use your own imagination or your own visualization of what you can do to surround yourself to block you from getting those bad energies.
And God bless you if you are one of those individuals, seriously, who can use unconditional love, that pink energy, and that's enough for you.
That's a good one, too.
Oh, I'm telling you, bless you, bless you, bless you, because you're one of the lucky ones. I wish that was enough for me, but I have a lot more that comes at me just because of energetically where I'm at, so I have to put up the armadillo.
What are some good clearing techniques that you use, you know, other than, you know, you've protected yourself, but at the end of the day, we have to clear ourselves before we go to bed to get rid of everything that we've absorbed and punched off. And
well, you know, my recommendation is you want to cleanse yourself every night and every morning before you even get up to bed and before you go to bed. And then if you can do it periodically through the day, it just becomes a ritual. It really honestly does. And you can visualize that there's a vacuum, this etheric vacuum that's just sucking all energies out of, but you have to name it. I have found that I can't just say, just clean and clear me and wash me up. It just doesn't, for me, it doesn't work like that.
Mm.
So I have to ask that this vacuum, and I change day to day, I have to change. I have to get playful with my words. But I'll use a vacuum, and I'll ask that my auric field is cleansed and cleared, my light body and space is cleansed and cleared, the etheric body and spaces, the spiritual body and spaces. And then you always want to say as above you, as below you, in front of you, to the present moment, to the back of you, to the feminine side of you, to the masculine side of you. So, I mean, you have to play around. These are just templates, you guys, that you're using. Don't use them. They don't have to be word for word. You just play around with them. Use the bits and the pieces of what jumps out at you. So, I mean, there's many different techniques you can use.
Yeah, our friend Susan Underwood, the angel lady, she always starts out with clear my body, clear my mind, clear my soul. And then she goes into the rest of it. So that's kind of a nice way, too, you know, to start your evening routine.
Mm-hmm. You can visualize that you're in a shower, and what kind of colors do you want coming down at you that is showering you, and just visualize that all the debris is just being washed away down a drain. You can visualize that, that you're in a shower.
That's interesting. One of our readers in the chat room, that's what she wrote.
Oh, she just wrote that?
Yeah, that she uses a...
I'm hoping
it's a she, that they use a shower to cleanse themselves. So that's interesting. So let's talk about now where you as a person end and another starts, because that's also establishing a boundary between people.
Oh, good Lord. Just so you guys know, I had the most poor boundaries with growing up, you know, just physical boundaries and then energetic boundaries. I didn't realize, you know, just being a sensitive kid, I didn't have anybody telling me that I had these gifts other than universe said they're gifts. I didn't know I could ask questions. I couldn't say, who's there? I just listened to everything that was coming in. I didn't know I could sit here and ask for something and they would respond back to me. So I would say it's been maybe the past 2 years, if even 2 years, that I have gotten better. And I've gone through a lot energetically this past year, and especially this winter, just what I've endured within the past 3 months. I mean, I'm telling you, the stories I could tell you, but I won't. I really learned how to identify what is mine and what isn't anybody else's. People are the least of my concerns. Seriously, people are people I can get rid of other people's energy easily. It's the other stuff that's out there that it's amazing what they will do and the lack of respect that they have that I'm a sovereign being and I'm a free will being and this is my body because I signed up for it. It's my contract, not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, but one thing you said was important because with all, like we talked on one of our other shows, all the new children coming in who are seeing and picking up things, they really need to understand where they end and where something else starts because they, from a young age, really need to establish those boundaries. I think that would help them as they get older, you know, and not, if they're informed and educated at a young age, I think it would help them as they grow older, then you don't get the kids who are whacked out or turning to drugs or alcohol.
Well, those are the indigo kids, the good portion of the kids who are doing drugs and alcohol folks that are out there, because I was one of them, are the indigo kids because they are feeling so intensely. And they don't even realize because their feelers are so far out there. And I guarantee they're going out so much farther and they are so beyond gifted. And when you sit down and talk with them, the families that I work with and have worked with that had absolutely no recognition or realization of just what their child was going through until a third party came in and said, did you realize that your child is gifted? And I was the first one to ever tell a child in a family, you have a very gifted child and you even realize that these are gifts. Not everybody has the ability to do what you can do. And believe you me, my greatest challenges were the teenagers. But God bless it, I love them. I love them because I was that challenging teenager. I was hell on wheels. And it all had to do with, you know, and the kids right now, I mean, this is why bullying is going on in the school. You have kids that are so angry. They'll even say, I don't even know I am angry. And the thing is, the majority of the time, it's not even their own anger. They're tuning in because they're so connected out in the universe. They're feeling the universal anger. But they might project it and say it's theirs. They might project it and say it's yours, Mom. It's yours, Dad. It's grandma's. It's grandpa's. It's the teachers. And here it has absolutely nothing to do with that. It could, but it, a lot of the times it's not even anything to do with that. And that's where I work with kids and families to help them identify that stuff. So,
So, I mean, I know that if you're trying to identify what's yours and what's somebody else's, a good way would be just to maybe stop and be in a quiet room,
still
meditate a little, feel it, and say, okay, is this really am I really feeling this way? I think everybody's intuitive enough to know they would get an answer, you know, and feel it, say, no, it's not me. And then you can examine what are you really feeling, and everything else is somebody else's.
Well, you know, just to piggyback off it, just a little more onto that is, you can go in and say, but you do have to be still, and it's better to be outside of a room where you're by yourself, or at least where it's a lot more quiet, so you can hear what is you're asking. But you can sit here and say, is this anger mine? And you're going to be able to know, yes, it is, or no, it's not. And yes will be when you're feeling light and free. And no can be to where you're feeling heavier. or you just automatically know it. So it's being able to take the time, but that's the thing is being able to have that awareness that you need to stop. We live in a society to where we're going all the time. This is how we get so caught up, and energetically we can get really bent out of shape because we don't have the time, because we're not taking the time to recognize that. In my own personal belief system, we were not designed to move at the pace that we move at. So, but there will be people who will disagree with that, and that's their opinion, as this is my own opinion. So,
mm-hmm.
But there are many different things. But the thing is, because I'm one, I was a kid, I was so hyper, I did everything because, and hyperactivity didn't exist back then. There wasn't a diagnosis. The DSM didn't even have that yet, if I remember correctly. But I was going nonstop. If people who know me now think I'm hyper, you should have seen me as a child. I drove my mother nuts. But the best thing she ever did for me was she got me outside. It was making that connection with the earth and trees. I love trees. That was the only time I ever really, truly felt grounded.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, for people who are empathic, too, who can walk into a room and pick up on everybody's energies,
mm-hmm.
it's very important to know these shielding techniques
mm-hmm.
and how to put up your line of boundary and how to clear yourself. And I know some will carry stones, like crystals.
Oh, yes.
Because that helps, you know, like even like a bracelet,
yep.
grounding bracelet,
mm-hmm.
anything. What's your favorite stone?
Oh, I have many, but I love selenite because selenite releases and takes away all the negative energy. And one thing that I've learned, put all your dark stones in the right pocket. That's the masculine energy. And all your light-colored stones in your left pocket. And just play around with it because there might be when you really start listening, I usually have four I always carry a rose quartz in my right and left pocket, and then I carry either an onyx or an obsidian in my right pocket to keep me grounded because I am so ungrounded the majority of the time. Being grounded is a new experience for me. So being in my body, my physical body, I'm not in it 24/7, and a lot of people think I should be because I came here for the human experience, and I really work on it. But, you know, 47 years I've been out there, and I have, you know, I have made it through life. I've done a lot with my life. I've been very successful in my life. It's been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of, you know, tough roads, but many of us have, and it's made me only stronger. But I'm one to where I benefit. And, like, right now I'm wearing a scarf on my head to keep me in my body, but it's not doing the best job. But, you know, there are people who wear scarves on their heads, hats on their heads,
mm-hmm.
And there's reasons for that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I bought a black tourmaline bracelet a few months ago, and I find that really, really helps to shield me when I go out in a large space. So I found now that if I know I'm going to go to a mall or, you know, a restaurant or out on the town or whatever, I like to wear that black tourmaline bracelet.
Did you know black tourmaline helps disincarnated spirits to stay out of there, to stay away from you?
Yes.
You know, that's
yeah.
very good.
Yep, that's why I wear it, because I went to a restaurant once in haunted downtown Anoka, and I was told later by someone that I was slimed, and I don't want to have that feeling again of being slimed because,
isn't it nasty?
Oh, it's horrible. I got so dizzy, and I couldn't, Oh my gosh, I had to leave the building 3 or 4 times, come in, I was drinking water, and it wouldn't leave me, and I finally had to have someone drive me home. And it took about an hour to get rid of that feeling. So that's one of the reasons that black tourmaline is with me now.
And, you know, and just so you know, with the disincarnated spirits that are out there that are still roaming around, because they're not all gathered in there, there's a lot of lost souls, believe it or not, because I work with somebody to where we're working on clearing that stuff up, but they're still out there. And that's where you really need to be mindful. If you can avoid places, seriously, if you don't specialize in that area, and if you know a place is haunted, stay away from it, even though it trips your trigger. Stay away from it because you don't know what their energy is. There's a lot of individuals that they're roaming the earth because they don't know that they are no longer in physical form and will do, there's not every, but a lot will do anything to be able to get into the body. And before I knew how to fully ground myself, when I would come and go and leave my body, well, other things would come in, and I literally would be shoved to the left side of my body, and I could feel the other entity be in there, and I would have to, there'd be this battle within my physical body, and I'd be going, get out! And it's like these movies. I mean, you know. Yeah. Like I said, we live in a very hotter Harry Potter world. We really honestly do. It's very magical and the stuff. I never thought I'd be talking the way I'm talking, seriously. But
well, that's why I've learned to bubble myself now before I go anywhere. And I continually bubble myself. And now I wear the black tourmaline bracelet. So, you know, it does really help. And I think, you know, when people are trying to re-energize themselves, that's also a good technique, you know, with the crystals.
Oh, yes, exactly. Re-energizing. And you know what you can do is buy different stones for your chakras, get to know what the chakras are about, look that up on the internet, and buy chakras and just sit down and meditate with that, you know, at least once a day. And it doesn't have to be, or just lay there. But, you know, to meditate doesn't have to be this deep hour of going in and doing that introspection. It's just laying there. It's being still. You can put on soothing music and music that's high vibration. And then lay stones on all different parts of your chakras that will rejuvenate you. And it also, the stones act with the properties that are in them. They'll access the records within us to help us remember the stuff. They don't have these, we think that the crystals and stones have magical properties. They just help us remember. They help us remember. They carry an energy that helps us propel us. That's all, you know, that's what it does. So I love my stones, love my stones.
Yeah, and also, you know, I mean, we do get you know, bombarded with different energies all day. If your body's compelled to sleep, do it. Take a nap. That's one of the best ways to re-energize yourself, and it clears you. Clear yourself before you take a nap so that when you do wake up, you're back centered. I've done it, you know, a number of times where even if you go to an event and you're just bombarded by it because you don't know what the energies are like, and you're just totally exhausted, listen to your body. Your body is trying to re-energize itself. So lay with a stone, clear yourself, kind of drift off meditating. It's a great way to re-energize yourself.
Oh, it is really good. You know, and those of you who have a pendulum, you can go over all of your chakras and ask that the pendulum activates all the positive energy within your chakras, and then it balances and aligns you and harmonizes you. So you do one at a time above your head, and then your forehead, your third eye, then your throat and your heart, and then above your belly button, below your belly button, and then in your groin area. And then you ask that, you hold the pendulum above all of them and ask that they're all in alignment and harmony and balanced with one another. So that's another way to where you can get into alignment with your energies. And there's a lot of times to where you just need to, because there's separated parts of us over lifetimes that have been traumatized that are wanting to come back in because they're feeling that it's safe to come back into wholeness. And so you ask for it to come in washed clean and cleared, and you give it permission to integrate with unconditional love, and it's forgiven, and you're gently allowing it to come back in you. So those of you who are experiencing, like you're having out of body, you could be experiencing out of body, but it could also be that those separated aspects are wanting to come in, and they're just waiting for the permission for you to say you can come back in, and you come in with unconditional, I give you unconditional love, there's forgiveness, I give you compassion, and it's safe for you to be here because I'm going to take care of you. Because in other lifetimes, as light workers, we thought it was safe, but we were tricked and yada, yada, yada. So, but this is a lifetime, there's many of us who are shining our light. This is a lifetime we're here to be successful. So it's just convincing those other pieces of us that, yes, it's true this lifetime, because every lifetime we said, but this is the lifetime. No, but this is the lifetime. No, but this is. But this is the lifetime. It is the lifetime that we are going to accomplish, being full light in our physical bodies. So,
well, you know what? We're almost done. This hour went super, super, super fast. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
Yes. I would like to say I have a special going on for my healing sessions, half-hour sessions for $60. It's $125 value, and that is going on from today through the 28th, and spots filling up fast. You can call me at 651-900-4136, and I do what is called light language, and it's a combination of many different things. And I also am doing phone readings from April 1st through the 5th, half hour for $50. And I again, that one also has a few sessions left. So if you're wanting a reading or a healing session, give me a call. It can be done on Skype. The readings are done on the phone, and energy work can be will be done on Skype or on Facebook. There's a camera thing. So
Great. So thank you all for listening to us this week. I hope you enjoyed our show. And remember, you can also check out our blog at divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. We do have information posted there about two classes that we'll be teaching on March 30th. And Beth's number again is 651-900-4136. And my number is 651-303-0555. And we would love it if you could like our Facebook page. Just search for Divine Goddess Radio. And you all have a fabulous, fabulous week, and love and light to you all.
Good night.